Jananjana Sabhakaya Chaksul Umidatam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitana Manubhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapandantikam. So I think that I will speak tonight about Srila Prabhupada. Today is Pandav Bhima Kadasi, near Jolly Kadasi. So on this auspicious day, if we discuss the glories and activities of Krishna's pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, I'm sure it will be very purifying to everyone. In particular, I'm thinking about different prayers which glorify the spiritual master. So if someone will give me a song book, good luck. We will wait 10 minutes for the song book. Normally most temples have song books in them. Maybe there's a song book over there. This is the song book. Is there a normal song book? Pass out the song books. So let us speak something about the prayers which we offer every morning to the spiritual master. Sri Guru Vastaka. This is a song composed by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He sings Samsaradava Naladita Loka Tranaya Karuna Ganagana Tvam Paptasya Kalyanam Guna Navasya Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. The spiritual master is receiving benediction from the ocean of mercy, just as a cloud pours water on a forest fire to extinguish it. So the spiritual master delivers the materially afflicted world by extinguishing the blazing fire of material existence. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master who is an ocean of auspicious qualities. When we remember this verse, I recall a time when Srila Prabhupada was remembering his Guru Maharaj. It was on the occasion of the disappearance of Srila Keshav Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada's sannyas guru. Prabhupada was in Seattle, Washington, and I had the good fortune to be with him at the time. It was 1968, perhaps September or October. And he began to remember his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And when Prabhupada remembered his Guru Maharaj, his voice choked up. And then he said that my Guru Maharaj was so kind that he picked me out and delivered me from this ocean of material existence. So, here also in this verse, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur speaks with great affection about how the spiritual master saves one. It is said that to try to cross over the material world with all types of material arrangements. It's like being caught in the midst of the ocean and catching hold of the tail of a dog to pull you across. It's an impossible act to think that you can cross an ocean holding on to the tail of a dog. But rather the picture is shown in Bhagavad Gita of how Krishna comes down on the back of Garuda and lifts the conditioned soul out of the material ocean. So that act of lifting the conditioned soul out of the material ocean is performed by the spiritual master. And without the help of Krishna's representative, the spiritual master, it is not possible to get out of this condition. Our misfortune is that we are drowning, but we don't understand that we are drowning. So, on a number of occasions, Srila Prabhupada describes how his Guru Maharaj delivered him. He says that when he went to meet his Guru Maharaj, he was a member of Gandhi's liberation movement. But the first time he saw his Guru Maharaj ordered him that you should go to the Western world and preach this Krishna consciousness movement. And although Prabhupada challenged his Guru Maharaj that how can you think of this spiritual life as long as India is captured by the British, his Guru Maharaj did not budge an inch from presenting, I guess you can go ahead, from presenting the point that the real thing that is required is Krishna consciousness. It is said that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, only do it if you see it. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had taken a vow to chant 1 billion times the holy name of the Lord. Now you can just imagine how much is 1 billion names. When we do 64 rounds, it is 3 lakhs, right? So 3 lakhs times 3 is about 10 lakhs. Okay, 10 lakhs. So in 3 days of chanting 64 rounds, you come to, say, 1 million. And 1 billion is 1,000 billion, 1,000 million. So 3,000, okay, times 64 equals 1 billion. So in a year, there's approximately 300 something days. So it means in about 9 to 10 years, he took this vow. But he was not going to just do it in 9 or 10 years, because he was not just chanting 64 rounds a day. Rather, he was chanting, more than 64 rounds, perhaps twice 64 or more. He was chanting day and night. At the time, he was living in a thatched hut, and it's a very attached fly. It says you have to all the time. Then it gets cold. I don't want this cold. Anyway, this is the material world. One problem or another, I'll do without it rather than catching. If you see the fly, do it. So he was chanting in a thatched hut, and he was so determined for his japa that the rain would come through the hut, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would hold an umbrella while in the hut. He didn't even bother to fix the hut. He just sat in the hut, and when it rained, he would hold an umbrella and chant japa. And he was going on like this for some years in a row. And he was only eating once a day, very, very little. So, at that time, in the midst of this chanting, the Panchatattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Advaita Charya, Gadadhar, and Sri Vas. And the whole Guru Parampara appeared before him, before Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And they ordered Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to preach. And therefore Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came out of his bhajan place. And he went to Calcutta and began to preach on the order of Sri Guru and Gauranga. And it was this act of going out which brought him into contact with Srila Prabhupada. So if we stay inside and just do our bhajan, we may become liberated. But we should understand that Sri Panchatattva wants us to go out and preach. So this is the actual mood that Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, all of them have. Prabhupada quotes his Guru Maharaj, "One who has life, it's such a disturbance, just go with this, put it away, don't worry about the fly. Forget it, don't worry. Leave him alone, I'll defend myself." They have bigger problems than flies. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "One who has life, he can preach." And he also said, "Preaching is the essence." So we are all interested in knowing what is the essence of spiritual life. So the essence of spiritual life is to preach. Because in this day and age, Krishna has come in the form of Lord Chaitanya. And it is the worship of Lord Chaitanya that qualifies us for understanding and worshipping Radha and Krishna. Now our central deity is Sri Sri Radha Nilamadav. And everyone wants to devote themselves to Sri Sri Radha Nilamadav. But we have to develop the qualification for worshipping Radha Nilamadav. And that qualification is worshipping Sri Guru and Gauranga. Therefore, the first altar is Guru and Gauranga. So we have to inquire, how does one worship Guru and Gauranga? Now, we can say by bowing down and offering obeisances. But this is not actually the worship of Guru and Gauranga alone. That is one part of it. That is only one part of it. But the most important part of it is the part which Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur demonstrated. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent out Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu to preach door to door. Can you bring me my chatter, please? To preach in each other, door to door. So going door to door is the, and preaching the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the best service to Gauri Nithai. So, when Srila Prabhupada met his Guru Maharaj, what was the first thing his Guru Maharaj said to him? "Go and preach." This is the first thing he told him. And Prabhupada took this instruction inside his heart. And he always meditated on it. When he was in his Grihastha Ashram, just like so many of you are in Grihastha Ashram, he used to study Srimad Bhagavatam, chant his japa, do his business, and then he would go and meet people and preach to them. So every one of us should try to take up this mood of preaching. If we take up this mood of preaching, we will actually get the mercy of Sri Sri Gauri Nithai. And when we get the mercy of Gauri Nithai, then actually we will develop the quality of being able to worship Radha and Krishna. Because preaching means to give mercy to the fallen souls. And when you extend your mercy to the fallen souls, you will understand something of the compassion of Nityananda Prabhu. When you understand something about the compassionate nature of Nityananda Prabhu, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will become very kind upon you. Just like Lord Chaitanya blessed Jagai and Madai, because they received the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. So when we go out to someone's home and we begin to preach to them, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu will accompany us. We'll actually feel their presence or mercy accompanying us. And it will bring us very close to their lotus feet. Then, in that mood of having done intimate service to Gaur Nithai, when we see Radha and Krishna, we will experience so much more. Our heart will be softened. Our minds will become purified. And we'll be able to appreciate Sri Sri Radha and Krishna and their transcendental pastimes. Otherwise, it is very hard to purify the heart of all kinds of inebrities. So when it says here that the spiritual master extinguishes the blazing fire of material existence, we see that the greatest emphasis Prabhupada gave was for preaching. But there's a reason for this. Because it constitutes the best form of worship of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you get the qualification for Radha Krishna Seva. Prabhupada knew very well the fallen condition of the people of this age. He knew it very well. And he was thinking how to give a chance to everyone to come closer to Radha and Krishna. Because that is our goal. To love Radha and Krishna, to serve Radha and Krishna, to be absorbed in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and one day to return to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So Prabhupada knew that the way to give this goal to the world was by somehow engaging everyone in the Sankirtan movement. So it is really the seva of the deity to go out and preach. To simply, you know, Prabhupada even said, if necessary, you can lock the doors of the temple. But the preaching must go on. He said, if necessary, you can lock the door of the temple. But the preaching must go on. So normally we're very attentive to the seva puja, and we should be. But we should understand that if we are not attentive to the preaching, but we are only attentive to the worship of the deity, that is a neophyte nature. That is the mentality of a neophyte person. Now you may say, what is my qualification for preaching? The qualification for preaching, what is the foremost qualification? The order of guru. That's the actual qualification that my guru has ordered me to. That's the first qualification. Because with that order comes the, if you have faith in that order, then gradually you will get strength for preaching. If nothing else, you can present your own example, how you came to Krishna consciousness. What has attracted you to Krishna consciousness? What has attracted you to your spiritual master? What is attracting you to reading Srimad Bhagavatam? If nothing else, present those things. Just present your own life story. And that will be very convincing. So, Prabhupada came to us. You know, we were lost. The whole, at least all of us, I know I was completely lost. But Prabhupada came in the midst of, you know, the United States, which is such a materialistic place. He presented Krishna consciousness in an uncompromising way. Not only he presented it, but he lived by it. Because it's not enough if you simply teach, but you have to teach by example. It's like if Prabhupada had never put on tilak, then we would never wear tilak. Sometimes people are embarrassed to wear tilak. But Prabhupada wore tilak. If Prabhupada had not worn a dhoti, then I think we would not have put on a dhoti. But because he did all of these things, we did these things. And he expected us to do as he did. Well, that was the proof that we had understood. If one simply goes on hearing but doesn't change, then actually the instruction has not entered the heart. Now one may say, these are external signs, tilak, dhoti. But we know very well that they're not external. I have practical experience that when you go and preach in a place where you can't wear tilak and dhoti, it's much more difficult. It's much more difficult. There's a reason for these things. In fact, they're part of the regulative principles. One of the 64 items, putting on tilak. This is 64 items. Wearing clean clothes. Now, if you can change your, you know, wearing clean clothes generally means unstitched cloth on the bottom. That's why dhoti is there. These are, for seva puja, this is necessary. So, presenting to people ourselves as devotees will have a very good effect. And you can expect people to do what you do. If you don't do it, how can you ask them to do it? And it will change them. We have to gradually learn to disassociate ourselves with the material world. Because the material world is a place of so much suffering. So these are ways of doing it. These festival days, like Ekadasi, is such a good opportunity to fast, to chant more, to come and associate together. It becomes very easy to remember Radha and Krishna in this context. Of course, Radha and Krishna, they don't have to observe these ceremonies of Ekadasi. They have their own festivals to take part in. But we are sadhus. We are still practicing devotees. And we are not so advanced that we can neglect those activities. So we have to be very attentive to days like Ekadasi and to all of these practices. Prabhupada was attentive. I remember on a number of Ekadasis where, you know, Prabhupada was not told, or somebody made a mistake and put some peas. And one day, and we were in Calcutta, and Prabhupada had not broken the Ekadasi, but the devotees broke because the cook had cooked with some peas. Prabhupada became so upset. Another day, we were in Rishikesh, and someone neglected to inform what the Ekadasi was. The devotees broke the Ekadasi. Prabhupada hadn't eaten yet. But then Prabhupada said, he was so unhappy, and then he said, anyway, now my disciples have broken, so you might as well serve me whatever they have eaten, and we'll follow tomorrow. When Prabhupada did that, I thought to myself that the spiritual master is eternally bound to his disciples. So even though he had not himself broken the Ekadasi, still he thought, if my disciples have done, then I'm going to be in their situation. I don't know why he did it, but I can only reason like that, that he did it. And he went ahead in that circumstance. So I could appreciate from this how the spiritual master is so much concerned to train his disciples. And he's prepared to, you know, as Prabhupada said, even go to hell to deliver a disciple. Not that he goes to hell. He's not in hell. But he goes into any circumstance to the delivered disciple. Just like what Prabhupada went to in America was like hell. But he was transcendental to that condition. Always transcendental. So the next verse describes another activity which Prabhupada showed. Mahaprabhu kirtana nirti gita baditra madhyam manasaurasena Romanchakam Pashru Taranga Bhajo Vande Guru Sri Chadanaravindu. Chanting the holy name, dancing in ecstasy, singing and playing musical instruments, the spiritual master is always gladdened by the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he is relishing the mellows of pure devotion within his mind, sometimes his hair stands on end, he feels quivering in his body, and tears flow from his eyes like waves. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada showed us how to play all of the instruments. Personally, he taught me how to play mridanga. He would also play harmonium, and sometimes those bhajans that were recorded, which we still listen to, his bhajan tapes. Very often I'm playing the kartals with him, because we would record these in Los Angeles, 1968, 69, we recorded many of these bhajans. And Prabhupada would also do kirtan. He showed us how to dance and how to jump. I remember the first time there was jumping was in Los Angeles, and no one had ever seen Prabhupada jump. In fact, until that day, devotees would just dance back and forth like this. And there was a big festival going on. I don't know what was the function. It was 19... may have been 69. Perhaps it was around Gaur Purnima time. And after Prabhupada had conducted an initiation ceremony, and after the initiation ceremony, there was a kirtan. So in the midst of that kirtan, Prabhupada held up his hands and he began to jump up and down. And it was like we were all puppets. And as Prabhupada went up and down like this, it was like we automatically went up and down. And we all started to jump. And Prabhupada was just jumping up and down, up and down, up and down. And the temple was quite large. So Prabhupada started and he went all the way around, jumping up and down, up and down. And I remember there were two ladies, old ladies, American ladies, sitting in the back. And he went right up to them and he just started jumping up and down in front of them. And gradually, I think they got also up, at least they stood up. But he kept doing this and the whole temple was in such ecstatic mood. And after that, I remember I called to New York and told Brahmananda, and Brahmananda put on the microphone, he put the telephone to a microphone so that all the devotees could hear what I was saying. And I told them how Prabhupada was jumping. And gradually Prabhupada went from temple to temple jumping and taught them all how to jump. So even how to feel some, you know, because when you jump, it gives relief. It is a type of anubhav. It is one of the, of course, real anubhav is very high, but this is in a glimpse of it, you can say, a shadow reflection of it. But it gives relief to one's ecstasy if one jumps, if one's feelings come out by dancing ecstatically. So everything Prabhupada taught, that is my point. And he showed so much, sometimes he would become so absorbed in singing. I remember he was chanting Jai Radha Madhav, and then he began to talk to us in Gorakhpur. In Uttar Pradesh, there's one city, Gorakhpur. And we had just installed Radha Madhava, small Radha Madhava there. We were worshipping them in the Kumbh Mela, and then we brought them there. Stayed up all night. Prabhupada kept us up the whole night to make an altar for the deities, because we arrived and there was no place. So Prabhupada told us that we could not take rest until the deities were established nicely. So the whole night we stayed up making the altar. And nobody took rest. And Prabhupada sat on a type of asana and he just sat there the whole time overseeing it. And we worked the whole night through until the deity, little Radha Madhava, was set up. Then, that was a nice place actually. It was given to us by one Hanuman Prasad Poddar. Hanuman Prasad Poddar was the founder of Gita Press in India. He was called Baiji. And he was a good friend of Prabhupada's. So when we came to Gorakhpur, Prabhupada became, after some time, his guest. He gave a house, big house. And there were many cows, 8 cows there. And we stayed there in that house and set up Radha Madhava. I remember when Prabhupada saw the devotees there, one day the devotees were feeding the cows, and Prabhupada scolded them because the devotees had not, they were making chapatis, and they were feeding the devotees, and the cows were getting after the devotees, and Prabhupada got very upset. He said, "First feed the cows. And you take the remnants of the cow." That means first the cow eats, then you eat. Because the cow is your mother. So first feed your mother, then you eat. Don't give your mother your remnants. So every day we started to make chapatis, and first we would feed the cows. And then we would eat. And I also remember there was an ekadasi there. And then the next day we had very nice prasadam in the morning. Prabhupada said, after Ekadasi, you can take very full prasadam the next morning. So, we stayed there about a month. Prabhupada had an idea to make a temple in the university. because Gorakhpur has this university there. And one of Prabhupada's disciples was a professor there. So it was with that interest that he went there. His plan was he wanted to establish a Krishna conscious temple and center in the midst of a big university, because he wanted students to become Krishna conscious. Anyway, that didn't take place. That never happened. Still, Prabhupada stayed and rested there, preached a little bit. He had made some disciples, about 8 disciples. But one night, he was chanting. And after chanting, he began to describe the song, Jai Radha Madhava. And he became so much full of ecstasy that he could not speak. He could not speak. He was describing how Radha and Krishna were meeting. And as he described that, how the gopis arrange for Radha and Krishna to meet, he became so stunned he could not speak. And he just stopped. And everything stopped, and after a few minutes, Prabhupada just said, have kirtan. Then the next morning, he was lecturing every morning from Chaitanya Chaitamrita. At night, he was lecturing from a Jamil section, but he talked about Jai Radha Madhava. Then the morning lecturing from Chaitanya Chaitamrita. And he was describing when Sanatan Goswami met Lord Chaitanya. And he described that Lord Chaitanya embraced Sanatan Goswami. And again, he fell into an ecstatic trance. And his voice became choked, his body became stunned, and his tears were coming down from his eyes. And the same thing happened again. I could understand that the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are so much similar to the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, but just in a different way. But we know that Sanatana Goswami is the intimate, the associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just as the gopis are the intimate associates of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So describing their intimate meeting, Prabhupada went into ecstatic trance. So, on many occasions we saw Prabhupada dancing enthusiastically, ecstatically. At the Rath Yatra, I saw another sign of Prabhupada's ecstasy. He was dancing on the Rath Yatra cart, and the whole, 5,000 people were dancing. And at one point, Prabhupada was right on the cart, and he just turned around. He was right next to Lord Jagannath, because the cart was made in such a way that when he danced, he was facing Lord Jagannath. He just kept dancing, looking up at Jagannath, dancing, up and down, up and down. Someone made a movie of this, very good movie. Just the whole time they were taking the photo of Prabhupada's feet dancing on the rose petals. And I had that movie, but somehow, I don't know who took it, and it got lost. A very wonderful dancing Prabhupada performed. Again in India, so many times we went to different people's homes and Prabhupada would dance. So, chanting the holy name, dancing in ecstasy, singing and playing of musical instruments, the spiritual master is always gladdened by the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya. Nothing gave Prabhupada greater pleasure than to see the preaching of Krishna consciousness expand. If you want to give pleasure to the spiritual master, this is actually the way. If you go out and preach, just to go and do your job every day, it doesn't give so much pleasure. Because Prabhupada said everybody does this. Everybody does this. Every karmi in Houston is doing this. But what is the credit if someone says, I'm maintaining my family very nicely? So every karmi is doing that. In fact, they do it most of the time better than the devotees. They maintain their families even better, often. But if we go out and preach, that gives great relief to the spiritual master. Because what is the concern of the guru? What is the concern of Krishna? How to deliver the conditioned souls? So if we go out and take our own time away and we sacrifice our own time for helping others, then in the spirit we become very dear to Guru. Then we become very dear. Simply to sit at home, to do one's own japa, it will not give the spiritual master so much relief. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in this anxiety. In Chaitanya Chaitamrita, he says, I am feeling anxiety. how I can distribute these fruits of love of God. Of course, what he's speaking about and what we have is a world of difference. Mahaprabhu's fruit is the fruit of Radha Krishna, loving affairs of Radha Krishna. At least we can go out and begin to distribute something. You know, just like yesterday, right? We had mango in four ways, isn't it, John Nikon? We had mango rus. We had mango cut up in pieces, right? We had mango ice cream. And we had green mango as a pickle. So let us say that our preaching is like distributing the green mango pickle. It is not ripe yet, but still it's very tasty. In fact, it gives more appetite. The green mango, kacha mango, is more appetite. It produces appetite. And by eating that type of mango, you'll get greater desire to eat the other types of mango. So even we may not yet have come to the mature point of understanding fully the goal of Krishna consciousness. What we go out and preach is the beginning. It is the green mango. It is the beginning, even if we start to speak. And most people need to have green mango. They need their appetites to be whetted. They need the fire of digestion increased. They need to be told, you're not your body. You should, you know. But there must be some preaching. Don't go to someone's home and simply talk on the platform of, you know, a business deal. Okay, we're building this temple. I remember in India, I'd give donation. That must come, because that's seva. That has to be there. We have to give them a chance to donate. Because how else will they begin their service? This is a practical way. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if you can't follow the regulative principles of spiritual life, then work for me, giving the result to me. So that's why we ask people to donate money. But I remember in India, the best preacher of Prabhupada's disciples was Giriraj Maharaj. Why? Because he always spoke the philosophy very nice, very nicely. You should speak the philosophy when you go to people's homes. They expect this. Something of the philosophy. And in order to speak the philosophy, what does that mean? You have to do some reading. If you have no time to read, then listen to a tape. If you really have no time to read, then while you're driving to work, put on a tape. When you're in the bath, listen to a tape. I get to listen every day to at least 1 hour. Just during bathing and other different things, I just focus in my mind on Prabhupada's tape. So you'll hear philosophy, and then you repeat what you've heard. And by repeating what you've heard, it becomes realized. And people get benefit. And everyone can go out. You see, don't think that you have to be a sannyasi to preach. Now I think I will stay back. I will stay back and you go out and preach. I thought to this time, but at this time, I will always come here and I go out every night and you all just sit there. Free entertainment. And I have to tax my brain and think of how to entertain you. But I thought, now I'm going to get entertained by you. You know, you go out and preach and tell me the stories of your preaching. And I'll stay back. I'll be right here in Houston, but you go out and preach. And let me now see how you do it. When we used to do programs in the evenings, Prabhupada would often make us stand up and give some talk. He'd make the men and the ladies also stand up. And after we'd all speak 5 minutes or 10 minutes, then he would speak something. Sometimes he'd only speak 2 or 3 minutes, because he felt it was more impressive for people to see the disciples speaking. Because if a disciple can speak very nicely, then it's understood the guru is very good. Just like the example is given of, who was it, Narottam Thakur or Srinivasacharya? No. Who was it that had those qualified disciples? Ramchandra Kaviraj? And one other? Narottam Thakur. Yeah, Narottam Thakur. He had Ramchandra Kaviraj and there was one other disciple. Anyway, there was a big Digvijaya who was coming to challenge Narottam Thakur. So Ramchandra Kaviraj and his godbrother thought, you know, we will deal with these people. So they dressed up as ordinary merchants, selling leaf cup, and the other one was selling what? I think pan or something, beetle, something simple. So then all of the big people came on their way to meet Narottam Thakur, and they arrived in this village, and when they dealt with the merchants were all talking very high-class Sanskrit. And not only to talk high-class Sanskrit, they began to involve them in discussion and gradually completely defeated all of their arguments. So then they asked, who are you? They said, oh, we are just the disciples of Narottam Thakur. In this village, everyone is like this. And they thought, if this is what the disciples are like, what must the guru be like? And they all ran away. So if the disciples become very good preachers, then that is the best testimony to the worth of the guru. This is the best testimony. You know, you can tell the tree by the fruits it produces. So if I think this is such a good credit to Srila Prabhupada, that he produced so many preachers, not only men, ladies also, so many qualified lady preachers. I was speaking with Giriraj Maharaj on the telephone, and he was just in Columbus, Ohio. One of our god sisters, Malati Prabhu, she has a temple there, and he was saying that this woman is so advanced. She loves to greet the Vaishnavas. She's always absorbed in the mood of Prabhupada, you know, serving very humbly, very, very, very humble. And she has made so many lady devotees there. She has a very nice preaching center, all ladies. You know, and she invites different preachers to come there and preach. So Prabhupada trained up so many qualified disciples. I was just in Los Angeles, and they were having a reunion, and I met one god sister, Kausalya Devi, who I had not seen since, you know, 20 years. And I remember how Prabhupada sent her and one other lady to organize the whole preaching in Jaipur, where I took sannyas that time. And she arranged a big program for Prabhupada. She did all the arrangements. So Prabhupada had many qualified women disciples also. So, ladies also should go out and preach. They shouldn't think this is the business of men. Someone said, you know, where does it say that women should go out and preach? But we see amongst the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers, just like Janava Devi, the wife of Nityananda Prabhu, was the most powerful acharya. After the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu, Janava Devi became the acharya for the whole Gaudiya Sampradaya. And there are others also. It's not just one. There's not so many. And especially in Kali Yuga, women have achieved a position practically of equality in so many ways. So let them be equal in preaching. They should also go out. Not that you should just do your job or take care of the house and stay at home. But you should also go out. You can go out, two ladies together, or a lady and your husband can go out. Make some teams. Even the young children can go out. They're not so young. They can go out. Some of them have come from Gurukul. Now let's see if they can preach. Otherwise, what is the use of a Gurukul education? So you take your young boys out and say, okay, he just came from Vrindavan Gurukul. Recite a verse. And he can recite, and everybody will be pleased. Our girls also know some verses from our Gurukul here. So everyone can preach. Prabhupada gave credit to Saraswati, Shamsuna's daughter, 3 years old. He took Saraswati to MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, practically the top technological school in the world. And so after Prabhupada gave a lecture, Saraswati stood up. And in the middle of the kirtan, she jumped up and she started going like this to everybody. And everybody, all of the college students got up on her order. Prabhupada said, a three-year-old girl, and she has made all of these university graduates, you know, dance. And he always used to compliment her, that anyone who asks her, you know, who is Krishna? Saraswati would say, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So anyone can preach. Not that it's just, you know, the right of a few people. Then, next verse. Sri Vigrahara Dana Nityanana Shringara Tani Mandira Majanado Yuktasya Bhaktam Shanijanjato Bi Vande Guru Sri Charanana Vindam. The spiritual master is always engaged in the temple worship of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. He also engages. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. So, now we see deity worship. This is the next thing. Because the train runs on two tracks. Bhagavat Vidhi and Pancharatriki Vidhi. Pancharatrik means the principles of deity worship and other agama points given by Narad Muni. Sri Narad Muni has described this deity worship. What we're doing in the temple in worshipping the deity was not just started by Prabhupada. It is so many thousands and hundreds of thousands of years going on under the guidance of Narad Muni. And this worship of Radha Krishna, Prabhupada said, will give us the enthusiasm to preach. If we worship the deity, we'll get enthusiasm. We'll get purification. So this is the required principle of keeping fit. Especially deity worship is essential for householders, because householders are attached to the family members. And family means bodily relationship. So the deity has a body also, but it's a transcendental body. So by dealing with the deity's transcendental body, we become more attracted and attached to the beauty of the deity than to the beauty of husband or wife or children. And this is the ultimate point. We have to become detached from the things of this world and more attached to Radha Krishna. So this deity worship of Gornitai, of Giriraj Govardhan, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, this has to be done, and very gorgeously. We should offer the best. Therefore, we're building this project. This project is only for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna, Gornitai, and Prabhupada, for their glorification. It is our humble offering. You're lucky. You're living in Houston. Here's an opportunity. Again, I say, what is the value of simply, you know, working and going home at night? There's no value. No spiritual, eternal value. Here's the value. Build this project. Dedicate yourself. Make sacrifice for this project. If you're earning money, give money. And with your free time, give your time. And it'll be to your eternal benefit. You're building, just like when we go on parikrama. When we go on parikrama, in Varsana, let us say, or in Govardhan, there's one place in Varsana, up on the hill, where everyone builds their house. Right? You take the stones, have you all done that? You take stones, I've done it so many times. I always build my house. And usually I go there with Giriraj Maharaj and I build my house next to his. I think one day we will take our birth here. So, we're building our houses there, right? This is the same opportunity. You put the foundation in by one means or another. I don't care whether it's you who lays the foundation, or who planned the foundation, or who paid for the foundation, or who told people about the foundation, or who got the money for the foundation. But somehow as we build these buildings, we are building our house in the spiritual world. You should know this certainly. Have no doubt about this. This is actually the way to prepare yourself. It's a very practical way of preparing yourself for going to the spiritual world. Why are we doing this? For the satisfaction of the deity. Not for our own glorification. We could care less. What is our glory? Our only glorification is one thing. Somehow we follow the order of Guru. Prabhupada said, if I get one credit, it is only one credit I can claim for my own. I never deviated. I never changed the word of my Guru Maharaj. It's amazing. The Prabhupada did so much. Right? We say Prabhupada did 108 temples. He initiated 10,000 disciples. He wrote 100 books or 60 to 100 books, on and on and on. Prabhupada said, my only credit is I stuck by my Guru Maharaj. He said, that's my credit. He said, everything else is whose credit? My Guru Maharaj's credit. He said, he did it all. He just used me. And the only thing I did is I agreed to be used by him. This is how a disciple thinks. He doesn't think, I want credit, I want praise, I want fame and name. He just prays to his guru, use me, use me, use me. He tries to allow his Guru Maharaj to use him. So, deity worship. Not only this, but also building this project. Now the deity seva is done nicely. We should expand and increase. Because just like in Dallas, we built a beautiful temple in Dallas, but nobody was coming. Not many people were coming. And then I thought, then we must build a restaurant. As soon as we opened a restaurant, bang, every night 100 people were coming. Of course, our Indian congregation is coming. But Western people are not yet coming. And they are ready to come, but they don't know. They won't come for a temple, they'll follow their tongue, they'll follow their belly. And then they'll also come and see the deities, just like in Dallas, they see. Every year we have calculated at least 25,000 people are coming. And it's amazing, but practically, you know, hardly a person in Dallas has not heard about Radha Kalachandri, about Kalachandri's restaurant. There's practically not a single person there. And all the devotees, when they go on Sankirtan, everyone they know, oh yeah, I've heard of your restaurant. They all say like that. And not only there, even in other cities, even in other cities, we hear stories of people coming, talking about it, you know. So, if it was only the temple and the deity, they would not come. Restaurant to come. And once they come to the restaurant, into the temple, they go, or they get a book, like that. So it's a very important part of the preaching. Very important. You should do it. What is stopping us from doing it? We can do it if we want. If one single person could get on a boat with 40 rupees in his pocket and have two heart attacks on the boat and have no one to really greet him and nothing was done, and if all of this could come from that, we can't even make a restaurant? That's small potatoes. There's nothing to make a restaurant. It's such a simple thing. If we exert our efforts. If we exert our efforts. But it isn't going to just come by, you know, if Krishna wants it, it will happen. That's what they used to, you know, you go to make a life member. I used to go to make life members in India. If Krishna desires, I will become the member. If Krishna wants, the restaurant will come up. If Krishna wants it. If Krishna, I always used to tell him, the proof that Krishna wants is that, sir, is that I'm sitting right in front of you, sir. That's the proof. I'm here to tell you that Krishna wants it. And then they would smile because they knew it was just an excuse. It was a bluff. So similarly, I think you are all smiling because you are only bluffing me. That you know that Krishna wants it, so you have to do it. This will be worship of the deity. What is the business of a pujari? To give prasadam. So when you have a restaurant, everything is offered to the deity, we can do massive prasadam distribution. Prabhupada said, if 10% of the population, Prabhupada told me this in Vrindavan, if 1/10 of your countrymen will give up meat eating, the whole consciousness of the world, atmosphere of the world, Prabhupada, the whole atmosphere of the world will change. And already it's moving in that direction. It's already moving towards 10%. By Prabhupada's preaching. So we have to do our share in Houston. We have to open a restaurant as soon as possible. Then the next verse, Chatur Vidasri Bhagavat Prasad Svadvana Triptan Hari Bhakti Sanghan Kritvaiva Triptim Vajitasadeva Vande Guru Sri Charanaravinda. The spiritual master is always offering Krishna four kinds of delicious food, analyzed as that which is licked, chewed, drunk, and sucked. When the spiritual master sees that the devotees are satisfied by eating Bhagavad Prasad, he is satisfied. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. So this, I remember taking Prabhupada on a tour of our restaurant in New York. Prabhupada got so much pleasure. In fact, Prabhupada told me that we don't have to open up further temples. He said, whatever temples we have is sufficient. It means whatever locations of temples we have is sufficient. He said, now open restaurants and reading rooms. He was more eager to see this established because he was practical. He knew this is what people will want in this age. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also was always engaged in so many prasadam pastimes. Radha and Krishna are engaged every day in prasadam pastimes. So prasadam is, you know, one time Prabhupada said, our philosophy is a kitchen philosophy. So we have big philosophers. The ladies are the biggest philosophers. If our philosophy is a kitchen philosophy, then the biggest philosophers are the ladies. Because they can defeat everyone by what they do in the kitchen. Therefore, young girls should learn how to become good cooks. I remember one time Prabhupada made a marriage arrangement to disciples. But before he finalized the marriage, he told the girl to cook for him. He said, first I want to see if you know how to cook. So then she cooked. It was Hayagriva, and I forget his wife's name. I just don't remember at the time. I forget her name. Anyway, so he made her cook. And she cooked, and then it was offered. And then Prabhupada took the prasad, and he said, okay, now the marriage can be done. She's a good cook. So, you know, of course, men can also cook. Ladies and men can cook. Prabhupada was also an expert cook. Prabhupada learned how to cook both from his mother and by standing on the streets of Calcutta. Prabhupada said he stood on the streets of Calcutta and he used to watch the different men who would, you know, cook things, like they would cook some fried things, and he would just stand there and watch. As a little boy, and he would watch them cooking, and he got the idea how to cook. And Prabhupada was a very expert cook. I mean, I remember one time Prabhupada cooked for his Guru Maharaj's feast, and I told this story recently, it will come on the video. They have those ITV videos, interviews about different devotees telling about Prabhupada, so they Siddhanta Das filmed me for 2.5 hours at Ridhananda Maharaj's house in Los Angeles just last week. I was telling about one festival of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Prabhupada went into the kitchen in 1 hour, cooked 10 preparations for 60, 70 devotees. He had some people cutting up, but he cooked all 10 preparations in 1 hour's time. And I especially remember the puris, you know. Every puri he rolled and put in, and they would blow up. And Prabhupada would put them in, and then they would blow up a little, and then he would touch them. And they would just puff up, so I thought that, you know, it's like, I didn't know so much about cooking. So I thought it was like some kind of magic potency that Prabhupada had, that it would touch something and it would blow up. Because I was more accustomed to chapatis. And I never saw how those puris were puffing up. And when the devotees made the puris, they didn't puff. But every puri was puffing up. So Prabhupada was a very expert cook. I mean, any time you would take the prasadam and Prabhupada cooked, you would know it was not from this world. It had a completely unique taste. And we could understand that Prabhupada was the intimate associate, you see, of Krishna. Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Therefore, he knew everything about cooking. Radharani is the most expert cook. And Prabhupada used to say, Radharani will come into the kitchen and cook for Krishna. So, we have to think when we are cooking that we are simply assisting Srimati Radharani in cooking for Krishna. Everything we do, we think we are assisting. When we do deity worship, we think we are assisting our guru. Guru is worshipping and I'm assisting. Therefore, first thing in deity worship, you have to establish your guru. First you establish, you call your guru there, then you begin the puja. This is the system. never that I'm directly dealing. I'm always assisting my guru. And therefore, there's this verse, the spiritual master, Nikunjayuna Radikeli Siddhai Yajali Bijuk Yayali Bir Yuktir Apekshaniya Tatrati Taksha Ativalavasya Vande Guru Sri Chadanandavi. The spiritual master is very dear because he's expert in assisting the gopis who at different times make different tasteful arrangements for the perfection of Radha Krishna's conjugal loving affairs within the groves of Vrindavan. I offer my most humble obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. Spiritual master knows how to be of service to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. As I described to you, Prabhupada did so much service in worshipping the deity, and he engaged us assisting. So whether in this world or in the liberated condition, in the spiritual world, we can meditate on Prabhupada's pastimes. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur clearly says, what is the duty of the guru? How the guru is engaged in intimate service to Radha and Krishna. And in the previous verse, describes how the spiritual master is always hearing. The spiritual master is always eager to hear and chant. Sri Radhika, Madhava Yodapada, Madhurya Lila, Guna Rupa Nam Nam, Pratikshana Swadana Lalapasya Bhande Guru Sri Chadanaravind. Always eager to hear and chant about the unlimited conjugal pastimes of Radhika and Madhava and their qualities, names, and forms. The spiritual master aspires to relish these at every moment. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the feet, lotus feet, of such a spiritual master. And Prabhupada used to so much enjoy hearing Krishna's pastimes. Every afternoon, he would have us read from Krishna book to him. Krishna book means 10th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. At that time we didn't have it translated, so he would have Krishna book read. So we should absorb ourselves in hearing the Nitya Lila of Radha and Krishna. This is mentioned here. This is what the spiritual master hears. So Prabhupada would engage his disciples also. Bit by bit we would go through Krishna book from the first chapter all the way through. So we should all know Krishna's pastimes. Children should know them. Not only grown-ups, but children also should hear. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, and the spiritual master's pastimes, are not less important. It's very important to absorb oneself in hearing the pastimes of one's spiritual master, so one's mind is always thinking in this way. Because service to Krishna means through the agency of guru. And here it mentions the position. Shaksha daritvena samasta shastrai ruktashtatava bhavete eva saddhi kinto prabho yapriya eva tasya bhande guru si charanavinda. The spiritual master is to be honored as much as the Supreme Lord because he is the most confidential servitor of the Lord. This is acknowledged in all revealed scriptures and followed by all authorities. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master, who is a bona fide representative of Sri Hari Krishna. So how do we honor the spiritual master? By carrying out his instructions. That's the actual way to honor Guru. Not by lip service. Prabhupada said, not simply by fruits and flowers, but by carrying out the order. And what is that order? The order is to preach, to deliver Krishna consciousness. So we have to do this. It's not enough to say, I'm doing my family seva. You can do family seva, you can get on the phone and preach. Even if you're so absorbed that you can't go out and get on the phone and make appointments for someone else to go out. Or make some friends at the Sunday feast and then phone them up, how are you doing? Did you chant your rounds today? Did you make sure to offer whatever you cook for your family to Krishna? Everyone has a way to do some preaching. There's no, at least come on Sunday, even with your family, and you can preach to the other guests. Everyone should be here for Sunday feast. Don't just sit amongst yourselves. find out new people, find out old people. Especially if you're going out and preaching every day or a few times in the week, then you must be here on Sunday to see the people who come. Because one of the most important things to do when you go out and preach, invite them to the Sunday feast. So you have to be here to greet them and receive them nicely. Did you get enough prasadam, you asked them? Can we get you some more prasadam? Find out how they're doing. This is personal. This is a personal movement. And finally, the last prayer, Yasya Prasada, Bhagavat Prasada, Yasya Prasada, Nakati Kutopi, Dhyan Stubamastasya, Yasas Chisandam, Vande Guru Sri Charanarabinda. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the benediction of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. Therefore, I should always remember and praise the spiritual master. At least three times a day, I should offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master. These are the eight prayers which Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has composed. You can see how nicely Prabhupada fulfills these prayers. Any questions? See, because you sat in front of the TV all the time, you have nothing on your mind. I'm just entertaining you. People who watch the television become dull. I think you have become dull by just all the time me doing all the speaking. Now it's time that you go out and speak. This is why you have your free time now. Go out and preach. Whatever free evenings, go out and preach. On the weekends, tomorrow is a very good day, you can all go out. Go out and preach. I was so determined to get out everyone on preaching. When the Sankirtan parties would go, I would get every single devotee out and lock the door. 40-50 devotees out of the temple. And I'd lock the doors. I checked every room of the temple to see who was staying back. Even I would go in the bathrooms and look to see if anyone was standing on the toilet seat holding the door closed to avoid going out. Somehow I would find every last person and get them out preaching. So now we don't all live in one building. It's not so easy as in those days. Now I would have to run all over Houston looking in all your homes to see, are you out preaching? But tomorrow you should go out. Tomorrow you can go out. Sunday morning you can go out. And Sunday everybody be here. Then Monday through Friday, at least pick out some evening or evenings when you can go out. Make a team. This is how you build friendship with each other. When God brothers, God sisters go out together, devotees go out together and preach Krishna consciousness, you develop such nice friendships. And you have so many good experiences. And you get the mercy of Krishna this way. You get the mercy of Guru. Everybody says, how can I get Krishna's mercy? This is the way. Believe me, this is the way. And if everybody here goes out and preaches, this project will go up. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Actually, if Krishna wants, he can do it on his own. But then what credit will we get? So he's only doing this to give us some opportunity for seva. This is our deliverance. Yes, I hope a good question.
You said about you should go out and preach. At the same time, you said preaching is not just that, you have to practice also. So, what happens in cases where people don't seem to practice what they preach? What would be the effect of those kind of preaching in the minds of the people?
Practice what you preach means? What is the preaching? What preaching do you think they're not practicing?
No, like you.
Give me an example.
So, for example, say someone say you should be really very clean, and especially in this situation, I mean, say at some point or other, we would tell them that you should give some money to the donate some money to the temple for a better cause. At the same time, if I'm not going to do it myself.
Yeah, so you should donate some money. If you have money to donate, you donate. And I hope you're clean. Cleanliness means what? Taking bath, putting on tilak, and chanting Hare Krishna, and wearing clean clothing, keeping your home clean, keep your car clean. What are the things you want to keep clean? I think devotees are doing these things. I don't think there's so many hypocrites sitting here. You think the devotees are hypocrites?
No, I'm just asking.
Huh? What's your question? So what are you saying? What did they say?
The devotees are much more exemplary.
Devotees are more exemplary. Yeah, I hope so. I think they are. I think you are all very good examples. I don't think there's a person sitting here who cannot preach. Most people are quite entangled in material life, so your presence in their home will help them greatly. And if you find someone who's more advanced than you, then all very good, even more reason to go to that home. Then they'll preach to you. That's also good. Of course, make sure that if someone starts preaching you, they're actually more advanced than you are. I mean, especially nowadays with the rocket games. I remember last time we went, remember, with Prema Lakshmi, we went to someone's home, we came into this home, the people were 60-year-old people, you know, and we went in their home. We had a scheduled appointment, and when we opened up the door, there was a 30-inch screen with the rockets playing. But they turned it off. Then another person told us, "You better come before the rocket came." So now people will have rocket fever for a week or 10 days. But it'll get over, then they'll get another fever. So we have to give them the medicine that will bring down their fever. Krishna consciousness. So it looks like our pujari is ready. The deities are ready. Sri Sri Radha Nila Madhav Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki, Gaur Premanandi.